Here's the mail, it never fails. It makes me wanna wag my tail. When it comes, I wanna wail. Mail!
Today we're gonna be talking about mail time, everybody. This is Press Any Button. I'm Nikki.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Brittany.
Brittany, my Yay. Bestie, she's here, and I'm so happy.
That's me.
All right, so today we're talking about mail time.
Yeah, so what's mail time, Nikki?
Mail time is a cottagecore adventure game developed by Applemose Games, published by Freedom Games, and released in 2023 for Windows, Mac, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, and Nintendo Switch. You're a fresh-on-the-job mail scout on track to complete your very first mail delivery. You glide around, jump around, and walk around Grumblewood Grove on the way to deliver the letter and become a full-fledged mail scout.
Nice. Yeah. And Brittany, did you realize it was the cottagecore game when you picked it out?
Well, I did. I actually saw a girl on TikTok do a video about like cozy games that were coming out. And I saw this one and I thought, oh my gosh, it looks so cute. It's all cottagecore-y and you get to be like a little fairy jumping around and delivering your letters. And so I sent it to Nikki because I thought it was something that she would be interested in.
It's really cute. It has a cool art style too. So that was like made me want to play it.
Me too.
Also.
Yeah, I just think it's kind of funny because your other choice you were kind of thinking about was Paperboy.
It was.
So between Paperboy and mail time.
Yeah, something about delivering stuff is like the games I like to play. I want to deliver your packages in your mail, evidently. But yeah, I played that a lot as a kid and wanted to do that for the podcast. But then I saw this one and it kind of made me think of that. So,
Brittany, were you secretly meant to be a post office person?
I think so.
Instead of a teacher.
I think I just really want to drive on the other side of the car. That's really what I wanted to with my life.
You can just second go to career. London.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Love it. Nice. All right. Well, are you ready to get into the history?
Sure.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Pretty brand new game. It's only been out for a few months now. So were you able to find that much info?
I was able to find some stuff, but yeah, it's because it's pretty new. And normally, you know, I just go to Wikipedia and there's not even a Wikipedia for this game yet.
So new, there's not even a Wikipedia page yet.
There might be after this, though.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So I did find some stuff, but you know, it's also a little bit limited. So maybe a bit shorter history than normal.
Well, I mean, the game was only like 2 hours long, so you know, how long can the history be?
Yeah, that's true. All right, so the main person behind Mail Time is Kayla Vanderdeel, who did the coding, game design, a bunch of the art for the game, and most importantly, all the boring paperwork stuff.
That is very important.
Can you guess what country she's from based on her name alone?
Denmark?
Close.
Germany?
No.
Mm-hmm. Sweden.
The Netherlands.
Oh, okay.
Around there.
I should have, that would have been my next guess for sure.
Pretty close. So Kayla graduated William de Kooning Academy, Rotterdam, with a degree in animation and a minor in game design and development in 2021.
Ooh, she's fresh out of college.
Mm-hmm. And that same year is when she founded her company, Applemose Games, which is basically just her.
Girl power,
Go
though.
Her. Like, I love it.
That's awesome. That's brave. Like, getting right out of school saying, I'm not going to go work for another company. I'm just going to make my own game. And look, she did it.
So Mail Time basically started off as her college graduation project. And she actually won an award for it from her college called the Threshold Social Practices Award.
Cool.
That's cool.
A weird name for an award.
But I probably could have looked up some information about that award, but I did not.
You're in cozy mode, Eric. You're like, I'm not doing extra work.
Fine. It's just the game. It's cozy. So then you're in cozy mode when you're researching.
So what would you guys say was the overall theme of the game, if you had to guess?
Don't give up.
Failure is a part of life.
Yeah.
Actually, you are spot on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when asked, Kayla replied that the game is about trying your best and especially about dealing with failure. We all fail sometimes, which is inevitable since nobody can succeed all the time. For every winner, there needs to be a loser. And in society, we have established the norm that good people should always succeed, but that's just impossible. So I wanted to design a game that addresses this struggle and allows players to explore their fear of failing.
Aww. Yeah. That's, I mean, when you get to the end of the game and you go through and you're, can I talk about that?
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Sorry. Yeah. When you get to the end and there's like the little party with all the characters, that's what a lot of their dialogue talks about, is that it's okay that you failed. Like, that's part of being a person.
Yeah. It's like, you may have failed on this one aspect, but look at all this other stuff.
Look at all the other things you achieved and you accomplished, even though you didn't technically accomplish what you set out to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And hey,
and you can try again.
Yeah. And hey, it's your first day. First day.
You really did a lot in your first day.
Give yourself some slack. Yeah.
After graduating college, she signed with indie publisher Freedom Games, which helped Kayla with funding for her game. I think Freedom Games is out of Alabama, by the way.
Alabama, the United States? Is there another Alabama? Europe?
I might cut that if that ends up not being true. All right.
If so, that's great, though. Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
So there was a Kickstarter in 2022 for the game with a set goal of raising $20,000. Mm-hmm. How much do you think the game managed to raise?
All of it. Yeah.
Did they exceed?
They definitely exceeded that. I remember looking at it, and I can't remember the number, but I remember seeing that they
50,000.
Super exceeded
that. Yeah, it was like 48,000 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost spot on, yeah.
Dang, that's hard to raise that amount of money.
Yeah.
I feel like I didn't go to school or anything, but if I put it out there, like, hey, I want to make a video game, I need $20,000. I might get like $200. And it'd probably be from Dad.
Yes, it would.
Eric's mom.
And she probably would do that, yeah.
Oh my gosh, she'd be your biggest fan. I love it.
So these are the tools Kayla used to develop her game. Unreal Engine 4 for the programming environment, Autodesk Maya for the 3D modeling, 3D Coat for texturing, and Adobe Photoshop for the concept art. And then Google Docs for writing up some of the writing and stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Are those like pretty basic programs? I don't know very much about, like,
I only know some gaming of the ones you mentioned.
I know Photoshop, obviously. Yeah.
Both those things are extremely like hard and technical, so it's really freaking impressive.
Yeah.
So Kayla did have some help making the game with writing from Blue Vanderdeel and Maya Bloom, additional 3D art from Misha Penders, music from Gina Laughlin, and sound design by Amerlin Zeta. So I couldn't find like much info about how many copies were sold or anything like that. But I will note that it has mostly positive reviews from Steam with a user rating of about 80%.
Cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been like seeing it pop up on TikTok. I don't know if it's just because I watched like a couple videos about it.
Yeah.
But like a lot of people are playing it on there and making videos and stuff.
Cool. So yeah, I think it maybe found some non-mainstream fame just kind of through the social media platforms, perhaps.
Yeah. I think like cozy games too are just trending upward because it's more accessible to everybody.
Yeah.
And even if you like high action games, like cozy games are still fun. Mm-hmm. But I've noticed like more people talking about cozy games recently. Where, like, I didn't even know that was a genre when I was
I didn't either
in
until
high school
I
and
that.
Stuff.
Yeah. I saw that one, like, TikTok. I didn't really think about cozy games. Mm-hmm. But for someone like me who doesn't play games very often, it's something that I was like, oh, I can do that. And that's not going to... I don't have good gaming stamina. Mm-hmm. Like, if I can't beat something, I kind of quit it. Yeah. And so this one, I was like, okay, well, this is something I can just kind of play casually and chill, relax. Yeah. And,
have a tea.
When I think of like other cozy games, I tend to think of Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
It's a really popular one, like The Sims.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Stardew Valley. That's one I hear about all the time.
Yeah. That's a really good one, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are
Disney Dreamlight Valley. That's a good one, too.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, those are some great games. So there's definitely some quality there. Mm-hmm. All right. So that's pretty much my history. That's what I could find.
Cool. Good job, Eric.
Awesome.
Do you guys want to hear some fun facts?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I managed to find 3.
Nice.
Perfect.
I can't wait to hear them.
So fun fact number 1, the name of Kayla's company, Applemose, is Dutch for applesauce.
Okay.
Oh.
Wow. Such, okay. So different. I would have never guessed.
starting off very basic here.
I wonder why she chose that. Like, she just thought it was cute or something. Applesauce.
I don't know. Yeah. It's cute.
I like it.
That fits with the aesthetic of this game.
Yeah.
All cutesy.
Okay, so fun fact number two, making mail time accessible and playable for those with disabilities was an important goal for Kayla. So in the accessibility section of Mail Time's website, you can find like a long checklist that Kayla used kind of as a guide and whether Kayla was able to implement that item into the game. So of the 121 guidelines, she was able to implement 62 of them into the game, with some of the guidelines not being applicable due to the game type or feasible to her budget. But she really did try to like implement a lot of these accessibility features into the game. I don't know if you guys noticed that much.
I did notice because I was looking through like the settings and stuff. I forgot what I was looking for, but I noticed there's like a whole accessibility like section, and there was just like a ton of stuff. And I was like, that's really cool.
Yeah,
I actually didn't notice that. I kind of want to go back and see what's there now.
Yeah.
I didn't see that. So that's cool.
It's already pretty accessible just because, like, at least if you're deaf, like all the dialogue is written out for you.
There's not much that you have to actually hear. Like, or anything really other than the music. So that's nice.
And I think I saw something about color blindness and stuff on there. So, yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool that she went the extra mile to try to give everyone access to it.
She tries to make this like inclusive for lots of different people too. Yeah. Like when you're creating your characters and your pronouns and things. So that's good that she's keeping lots of different people in mind when she's making your game.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. All right. So fun fact number three. Kayla stated in an FAQ that the game takes about 3 to 4 hours to complete. How long do you think the current any percent speedrun world record of the game is?
Any percent?
That's like
5 minutes.
So do you know what an any percent speedrun is?
I don't know what that
is. So any percent is basically how long to get to the very, like the end.
Oh, okay. No matter how many things you accomplish. So for this game, it'd be like, who can deliver their letter to Greg
the fastest?
The fastest. Yeah.
Because there's no requirements that you have to do anything else if you find him.
Yeah, other speedruns might include like different amounts. Like I think there's a 14 badges speedrun where you have to go through and get specifically the correct number of badges, but not in the any percent. So how long do you think it is?
All right, so you do have to get like 14 badges before Jim will open up his thing, right? So I'll say, I don't know, like 15 minutes?
Yeah. 15, 20 minutes, maybe?
15 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, you are both way too long.
Oh, geez. 5 minutes?
It's 1 minute and 38 seconds.
1 minute? Wow. Wait, how are you just getting the... How are you getting the 14 badges in that fast?
No, they're not getting the badges. They're just going straight to Greg.
Okay, but how are they getting over there, though?
He says that you have to, like,
open.
Yeah, it says that you have to finish some more of your deliveries before
you Jim just opens up the air thing. If you don't need to get to the air thing, if you can get up there without it, the air event.
What a significant bummer to play this game in 1 minute.
There's a way to get past Jim. You don't really even need to talk to Jim to get to Greg.
I will say I did watch the speed run, and it involves doing these warps using your notebook.
What?
I was trying to look up.
I'm gonna have to watch this.
I was trying to look up how you did those warps, but I literally couldn't find it. I think it's only for the Steam version of the game, most likely.
I wonder how long it would be though for like a no cheat. Any percent.
So you're talking like, glitchless. Yeah, that would be a glitchless. Yeah. That's why there's
that's
a distinction.
That's what I was thinking.
As soon as I beat it, I started playing it again because I was like, now I know where everybody is and I'm going to see how fast I can go. And I haven't finished it yet because I got distracted. But that's one of my goals, is to play it again, just see how fast I can get to the end now that I know where all the characters
do
are. I'm going to.
All right. Yeah. So that's my fun facts.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good job, Eric.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can talk about the story a little
bit. Yeah, do you have
just
anything?
Just like a brief overview. I don't think we need to go into all the side stories.
That's a lot of side stories.
Yeah,
so if we want to just go into the story just a little bit, because, you know, that's like the main meat of the game. So we don't want to like ruin it too much if people want to play. But you play as a male scout, and it's your very first day on the job. And your very first assignment is like to deliver a letter to Greg. And so once you deliver that letter to Greg, you beat the game, and that's all there was to it. Just kidding.
Well, you get to Jim, and Jim is like, oh, yeah, I know Greg, but I'm not going to let you over there until you go get some patches.
Yeah, you got to earn this. I'm just kidding. But, yeah, you just go around this cute little forest town. deliver little letters to people, and then like other people will give you letters to take to other people.
Yeah, just
and
getting
then,
everyone's business. And
yeah, every time you meet a character, they've got a little side mission for you or a side thing to deliver. And so then you get kind of off track with, and you're like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be finding Greg.
You're really just like getting all the tea from everyone. Because yeah, 1,000%. Like everyone tells you they're, they're like hot goss.
Yes.
And like who they're into or like if the, you know, it's their anniversary or like whatever. I think it's really cute.
It is cute. And you can, you know, different characters have crushes on other characters and you go and find out if they have similar feelings and report back and
for you have to play like a matchmaker.
Yeah.
For some reason, no one's into you though.
No,
it's fine.
I'm kidding.
You know, it's still all good.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much the gist of it.
Yeah. And so then at the end of the game, you fail.
Yeah. You end up not being able to deliver the letter to Greg.
Which I will say, like, I didn't really see that coming.
I didn't see that coming.
And so then
either.
When I got there, I was like, yes, I found Greg. And then I was like, oh.
I thought Greg would wake up.
I did too.
Look, Greg's a bear, spoiler, and he's in hibernation. So when you find him, he's super conked out.
Yeah. And then it's like, oh, okay, go on back to the village as soon as you find him.
Yeah.
At the end, then
it's like, oh, what? I don't get to give him
his letter. You don't actually get to give him his letter. Which, when you get to the end and you see all the characters and you read the dialogue, it makes sense that that is part of the theme of the game. But at first, I was kind of like, what the hell? I finally found him, and now I can't even give him his letter.
Yeah, come
but
on, Greg.
It made sense in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, finally going to find out what's in this damn letter.
I know.
It's like, nope.
And they're like, oh, we'll just try again in the spring when he's awake. I'm like, okay.
Hopefully it's not important.
Yeah.
So do we want to talk about the stuff that we liked about the game now?
Sure.
Sure, yeah.
So I liked a lot about this game. I really loved the aesthetic of it, which is what drew me to it in the first place. I loved the animation and the colors and the music, and that's really what kind of drew me to it at first, was just how cute and like aesthetically pleasing it was.
The art style kind of feels like you're reading a kid's storybook.
Yeah.
And then like the character, like the main character kind of has like this Strawberry Shortcake vibe.
Very much so. She's like, you know, being a child of the 90s and 2000s, like fairies and stuff were cool. And so it made me think of that, like as a kid of me and my best friend, like we used to love fairies and draw fairy stuff and little Strawberry Shortcake and stuff like that. So it gave me that kind of vibe. And I think that's what I liked about it. And I liked, which sounds weird, but I liked that all the colors are kind of muted and soft and like it's not neon and like really bright. I like that about it though.
It like adds to the coziness.
Yeah, the cozy and woodlandiness of it. So
yeah, a lot of like natural colors. Yeah, you know, browns and greens and stuff. Yeah. I like that stuff too.
Yeah, I had that listed as one of my positive suits. Just like the art design in general is just very cohesive. Like everything feels like it fits into this world.
Yeah, definitely. I liked how you can customize all your characters and like we said earlier, how inclusive it is. And like there's like, I think I want to say, I might be wrong, there's like 4 million different ways that you could customize your character. It was something ridiculous like that when I was looking up stuff about the game too. Which...
And the main cool thing that I noticed is they had like, you know, she, her, he, him, and they had they, them as an option, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
So you could just make it look however you want.
Yeah. And like nothing is locked to a particular gender or anything. So you can have any like style you want.
Yeah.
It wasn't like overwhelming amount of options though, because I've customized some characters where it's like taking me 4 hours to customize my character.
Oh yeah.
So it was, I think it was like a good balance of having some good options but not making it like overwhelming.
Yeah. Sometimes it can be really fun to play with a character customization tool that gives you just way too many options. But it is kind of like overwhelming, and it definitely it can be time consuming.
But I like too that if I go back and play it again, I could completely change everything about my character.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's not overwhelming, an overwhelming amount of choices.
And didn't you say that Ella helped you create your character?
She did. My my 4-year-old helped me. And actually, when you name your character, I named her Eleanor. So then every time the dialogue would pop up, it'd be like, hello, Eleanor. And she loved that. So.
Did she play the game at all? Or did she mostly just watch
it? She sat with me and watched and played. Like with me. She'd tell me like to go over here and go talk to this person. She liked Shelly, the turtle. Shelby.
Yeah. How can you forget Shelby?
I know. I can't we have mess a friend named Shelby. Shelby. My bad.
Something I like is the funny writing, the dialogue. All the characters had little jokes, and they all had like really different personalities. And like, I was just giggling the whole time.
I had that written down too. The humor was something I really enjoyed. Yeah. I was like laughing out loud while playing the game a lot of times.
Then like the characters are just like silly too. Like the cat that's like into the money and everything. Yeah. And like the woodpecker that's like playing his music and he's just trying to vibe.
Yeah.
All right. So what was your favorite character, you'd say?
I liked Socks.
I love Socks.
I like Ham.
I did like
Ham too. You know, he's just like eating his charcuterie. And I'm like, I relate, you know? I also liked, what was Boomstick? The little, the like mole that likes to blow stuff up.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Swamp.
Swamp.
Yeah. What's his name? Like Boomstick?
No.
I think that was his whole name, Boomstick Swamp. Oh. Like,
was it?
I think so, yeah.
Maybe, yeah. Feel bad for correcting you on that.
Yeah, I mean, they call him just Swamp on his dialogue thing, but when you talk to him, he's like, he says his first name. So, okay. Yeah.
Wow. You were paying attention.
Did you guys notice the worm that popped up randomly throughout the different worlds? I was convinced that was going to be Greg for a while. I bet that's fucking Greg.
You, Greg.
He's just spying on me. But
you're
it
like,
wasn't.
This game thinks it's so smart.
I know. I see you, Greg. But it wasn't Greg.
You guys meet He Who Controls the Worms?
That's like the guy in the whale, right?
Yeah.
Did you ever talk to the guy in the whale?
In the whale, I'm trying to remember.
If you go to the whale where it's like boarded up over the whale,
there's
like a little guy inside.
Yes. Yes, and I kept going back to him thinking something else. He was gonna say something else, and never did.
You never needed any mail delivered, unfortunately.
What's something you like, Eric?
I really like the music. I thought that it really went well with the theme of the game.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, very light and
kind of whimsy.
Whimsical would be the right word.
Yeah.
I tried to capture as much as that as I could in my rap beat. Normally, I kind of use like a pre-written composition, but I couldn't really find one for this game, so I just kind of like did my best guess.
I thought it sounded pretty like on theme.
Yeah. I like, too, that it was like all one level and not like you had to beat certain levels to get to the next part.
Yeah.
I think that made, like, for someone who doesn't play a lot of games, it made it a lot like easier.
Yeah
I kind of felt open world-ish, but like maybe not too open world where it's just like you have too much area to roam around.
Because it doesn't give you a map, so you kind of have to memorize where everything is. So like it can't really be too big, so I thought it was a good size map.
I felt honestly if the world was much bigger, I felt like it probably would have needed a map, but
I almost felt like it did. That was one of the things, like, you know, when we talk about
talk about that later.
I
like how accessible the game is, not just for just different, you know, disabilities and learning things, but also for different genders, different sexual orientations, all ages as well. And I feel like you could definitely play this with your kids. Like,
yeah, definitely.
It's not something you'd have to stop playing once your kid came in the room, and they could even play with you. And I think this game could be a really good game to get your kid to read too. Like if you're having trouble. I mean, you're a teacher, Brittany. You'll know more than me, but I feel like it's probably hard to get kids to read, so if you can find a way to kind of like sneak it in.
And like part of the charm of the game is the narrative and the story behind it. But what I do like too is if you don't want to sit and read every teeny tiny bit of dialogue, you don't have to.
Yeah, that's
like you
true.
Can still play it even if you don't do that. If you know, for kids, absolutely, that would be great. I'm going to use that in my classroom. Thanks, Nikki. But you don't have to read every teeny tiny bit of dialogue to be successful in the game, which I like too.
Yeah. But I do feel like for this game, because it is so short, you really want to read the stories, because what you're really paying for.
Yeah, that's what you're paying for sure.
Good point. So I'm always like super impressed by developers who are able to create games mostly by themselves. There's a ton of stuff going on behind the scenes, and it just takes a lot of effort, like creating those models and debugging and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not always apparent, even if a game like appears to be pretty simple. there's usually a lot more that goes into it. So mm-hmm. I'm just super impressed by the fact that it was mostly done by one person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think Kayla is super talented, but also the rest of her team is very female and non-binary, which I think is also very, very cool for a video game because you don't see that a lot. Another couple things I really like, obviously, is how cozy this game is. Mm. You just sit back, you chill, you know, listen to the music, you fly around on your cool little glider, just low stress. After playing Mega Man 2 last week, this is the opposite.
What are you trying to
say? Because it's also platforming, but it's like chill platforming.
Mega Man 2 is low stress.
For who? Even you and Michael could stress out about it. Y'all played it 5 billion times.
I actually did have that on my list too. Ease of play, coziness, and being low stress was what I had on mine. Because it was nice just like Saturday or Sunday morning, sipping my coffee and playing this on the couch. Like, it was perfect.
Nice.
And then I also like the life lesson that it's going for. You know,
that it's
like,
okay don't to give be a failure. Up.
It's okay to fail sometimes. Failing at one thing doesn't mean you're a failure in life, you know.
Yeah.
And no one was upset. You know, you're harder on yourself as the main character than any of the other characters are towards you. So, yeah.
And that can definitely be true sometimes, that you do tend to be harder on yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't expect the game to really have a theme.
Me either.
So I think just it was like a nice lesson, you know, to be reminded of, but also was unexpected, which was kind of nice.
Yeah.
And on that note, do we want to talk about what we thought might have been improved about the game?
Sure. Yeah, I can go first. I thought maybe the game was a little bit too chill.
Oh, I actually literally had that exact same thing.
Because it is a little chill, which I liked, but I think maybe it could have used just a little few more exciting parts, you know,
or a
little more challenging platforming things. But I don't hate the game because of it or anything.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a bad game. I just, for me personally, it's just a little bit too chill, I think.
I think I would have wanted more challenges with actually like delivering letters. All the side challenges were fun, but it did get kind of hard to keep up with
mm-hmm.
who I was supposed to be going to and what I was supposed to be doing, even though you can pull it up in the little notebook. But I had a hard time. I just ended up wandering around until I found someone. And
same.
I was like, do I need to give something to you? Okay, here you go.
Yeah,
and
same.
Then, so that part was just a little bit hard to keep up with because they show you on the screen how many things you have to deliver and the picture of who you need to deliver it to. But that's all you get. And so then I'm like, I had like two whole columns mm-hmm. of letters to deliver. And I was like, oh God, I got so much to do. And I don't know what.
Like, I know. And at that point, you're like, I'll just talk to everybody because it's got to be like, you know, they probably have a letter they need to get.
That's why I just like, here's a person. Did I need to give you something? And I just walk up and talk to them.
I mean, what's the worst can happen?
You they give you another challenge. Yeah. And you're like, no, I haven't done any of these ones yet.
I am overwhelmed. This is my first day, sir. I like the people that try to, like, I know we already talked about the likes, but I like the people that try to just get you to deliver a verbal message.
Yeah.
Like, that's not how the post office works.
Yeah. Or they're like, take this letter to my mom. Or, I mean, not letter, but this picture I drew to my mom.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. All right, I'll do that. It was manageable without a map, but you really did have to just remember where characters mm-hmm. were or wander around until you found whoever it was that you needed.
Yeah.
So, and there were so many other characters that it probably would have been nice to have some kind of idea of where they were.
Yeah, even if there's not like a mini map directly mm-hmm. in the corner, like maybe if you opened up your notebook or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or say kind of where they were.
Yeah.
Just to remind
you. Just to get an idea. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I definitely
want to. I kind of get why they didn't do it, because like the game really would be super fast to beat if you had a map.
Yeah.
So they were probably trying to make it be a little bit longer, but yeah. Because I have, like, the game is short, and it's $20. So $20 isn't that much, but if it only takes you 2 hours to beat, you know, that's, like, $10 an hour.
Yeah.
I would wait till the game goes on sale, probably, to buy it. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, I agree with that. So since Mail Time is pretty much a pure platformer, it really could have benefited from a few more platforming mechanics. Like, you have jumping, gliding, and, like, you kind of a little bit of a double jump whenever you open up your glider.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just feel like there could have been like a grappling hook or a climbing mechanic or a swinging mechanic or just some other way to transverse this world in a fun way. It could have benefited from something like that.
Yeah,
I agree. And this is her first game, so I think there's like definitely room to take what she did in this one and, like, you know, add some stuff to it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I don't know about you, Brittany, but for us, the game was, like, a little glitchy. Like, did it ever glitch up on you?
Yeah, that did happen to me. I had to turn it off and on, two or three times.
Yeah, it would just get stuck on, like, you would get a badge or whatever, and it would, like, it just wouldn't go away no matter what you did.
I would walk up to a character to talk to them, and then you couldn't get away from them. Mm-hmm. You just had to keep going through the dialogue over and over.
That happened a few times.
Yeah, so... But it wasn't enough where it was really frustrating, but it did happen a few times.
Yeah.
And you just close the game out and then open it back up and that would fix it. But, you know, that could be fixed.
Yeah.
Do we have anything else that we didn't like?
So you have a bee that kind of hangs out with you and follows you around?
Yeah.
I want some bee mechanics. I want to be able to do stuff with that bee. I want to be able to send that bee over there to hit a
bee.
Button.
What?
You didn't even notice the
bee. He's with you the entire time.
He's with you the entire time.
I'm not observant.
And I don't think that you talk to the bee or acknowledge the bee the entire time. Unless I don't remember.
Until
the very end when you see Greg, don't you?
Yeah.
And then you're like, you turn and talk to bee, but that's the only time that bee has a real...
Okay.
Part in the story.
I kind of remember now.
Yeah.
More bee mechanics, please. Mm-hmm. I want to ride that bee like a pony.
Oh gosh. You're too big.
Never mind. I'll cut that last part. Yeah.
Something else I had was at the end when you get to the party, there is a lot of dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
it is a lot. So I did find myself towards the end like, okay, like kind of skipping at the end. Because it was, you go back and talk to almost every character and it's multiple lines of dialogue. So at the end, when you're like, okay, I found Greg, now what? I'm back at this party and I got to read all this. So it did get to be kind of a lot of dialogue at the very end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even think I talked to everybody. I was just like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
I partied out. What else you got, Eric?
I just have one more. This game needs like progressive items. So what that is basically, you know, like something that would maybe like you find an item at some point that like lowers the rate that you fall when you're gliding or gives you a bigger boost on your double jump or something.
Oh, okay. Just like a way to improve your skills.
Yeah. Just something to make the platforming easier as you go.
Oh, okay.
And gives you like kind of goals to work for, or like, oh, if I can get this item, it will let me get to this area or something like that. I feel like it could have used like some progressive items.
Yeah.
Even if they're just like subtly like, hey, this just lets you glide a little bit longer, or it slows your descent more or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. I think that's all I got.
That's all I had too.
That's all I got.
Now we can talk about strategy, because this is a very strategy,
very
heavy game.
Really, really heavy.
I mean, you really have to think about every move you make.
I still need to learn how to do that notebook glitch where you can just kind of like warp yourself.
I'm not good at doing glitches.
For me, for strategy, I literally put, it's hard to have a strategy in this game.
Yeah.
Because when you play
it's
the first time...
all the stuff you can say is just like obvious.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean... try to remember where people are.
Exactly. I have that.
Yeah, that's what I put. Like, because you don't really have any way for it to guide you where anyone is, you got to really pay attention to where that character is in the world and you need to get back to them.
I feel like once you've kind of made the loop like once or twice, you kind of like get an idea. You start to get familiar at that point. So, like maybe about half an hour, an hour into the game, you start to get a better idea without the mini map or anything.
Yeah. It tests your brain. I guess it's not that bad. We're so used to like GPS and having a map and we never have to remember directions. So, and then like in every other game I have a map. So I guess it's kind of good to force yourself to remember things every now and then. And then it's like talk to everybody, which is, that's just the game.
That's what you do.
That's how you play the game.
And
But I put too, like what I started to get into as I played was, try not to become distracted by every other person. And like, if you have a task that you have to take to a certain character, go find that character first. Try to complete that mission before you start talking to other characters, because then you will avoid being like me and having
like 40 letters.
Yeah. You don't like to have deliver. Like 20 items on your agenda.
Yeah, no, I don't like that. I want it to be clean and empty. So just take that immediately to the character you need to find and then go find somebody else.
Yeah. It takes the cozy out of cozy games when you feel stressed out because you have like 40 letters to deliver.
Yeah.
As stressed as you can I mean, be in this
stress
game.
Stress is a relative term. I was not stressed playing this game, but yeah.
I have like a pretty big piece of advice is to make sure you do everything you want to do before you go visit Greg. Because once you visit Greg, the game sort of stops and mm-hmm. moves on to another section and you can't go back and deliver any more letters. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
I have one.
Have fun.
Yeah. Have fun. Some items won't appear in the world until after you triggered their existence through like dialogue trees. Mm-hmm. Like once you talk to Toph about mushrooms, then mushroom samples will start showing up on mm-hmm. the mushrooms. So if you're looking for stuff, it's usually better to go ahead and have the conversations with people and then start looking for stuff.
Yeah. Speaking of the mushrooms, I forgot to say that. I did like that you could collect the mushroom samples too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And change your hat.
Yeah.
I did like that too.
Yeah. I feel like
it's the little things.
Could have used a few more collectible items like that.
Yeah,
that would like affect your appearance or something.
Or maybe you could get like a new glider or like fairy wings or something.
Yeah.
Something like that would have been cool to have in there because that part was mm-hmm. fun going and changing your hat out. But that's like the only part of the game that gives you anything like that.
Yeah. All right. That's all I got.
Mm-hmm.
You guys got anything for future? No.
Mm-mm. I tried to see if Kayla and her team was making a new game, but this one just came out, so if they are making a new game, it's probably not very far along.
Probably not.
But yeah, so I couldn't really find anything, except they're making a Mealtime movie. I'm just kidding.
What?
Oh my Netflix God. Picked up the rights
I'm just
to
kidding.
Oh, my God.
That's a running joke. Because a lot of times people will buy the rights to make a movie or a TV show, no matter what the game is, even if there's no story whatsoever.
I did find on one of Kayla's profiles that she said that once she finishes making Mealtime, she'd be taking a nap and then starting work on her next game. So since this game is done, she's either napping or working on her next game.
She is Greg.
Yeah, she's Greg. She's probably still napping. I hope
until
she's still
spring.
Napping.
Go her. Go, Kayla. Get your nap on.
I hope she went on a vacation, at least.
Yeah, hopefully.
So, Brittany, are you wondering if we beat your challenge that you gave us?
I am interested in if you beat my challenge. At the end, I had delivered 53 letters, which I felt was kind of an arbitrary number.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to find like how many letters you could have delivered, mm-hmm. and I was not successful with finding that information. So maybe you guys found it and I didn't.
I delivered 52 letters, so you got one more than I did.
All right, I beat you. All right.
What about you, Nikki?
Okay, well, confession. So I played the full game on my own, except I didn't go to Greg because I was like, oh no, I gotta do all these other letters like before I go to Greg. But then me and Eric started a new game that we played together
mm-hmm.
where we beat the whole entire thing together.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, so you never went back and finished your game?
I never went back and finished my original game. But when we played together, we only delivered like 36 letters. But I'm pretty sure I delivered more than that in my other game because I was trying to do all of the letters. But I didn't go back and finish my original game.
Well, you didn't deliver the most important letter, which was to Greg.
But I did when we played together because you let me do the Greg part, remember? Because I was like, oh, I didn't do this on my game, so I did it in our game. So I did it. Just like,
you know. Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Excuses.
But I'm going to rap anyways, because like, we didn't do it when we played our game together.
Okay.
Plus, we have a guest. We have Brittany. Yeah. So we got to rap, right?
Yeah, let's all rap.
Yeah, let's all rap.
Let's do it. I don't play many games, but when I do, I like them cozy. But when you play Mealtime, you get kinda nosy. Meeting lots of characters and hearing all their problems. Accepting their challenges and learning how to solve them. Flying over fields and bouncing on flowers. Delivering your letters and climbing tree towers. Cottagecore vibes got me feeling chill. Relaxing with my Switch when I got time to kill. From down to Crystal. crystal cave all the way to murky swamp. Woodland down is popping, flower field is going off. Earn all your badges and deliver all your letters. A low stress game, what on earth could be better? She, her, he, him, they, them, who can tell? Play mail time cause it's inclusive as hell. Be exactly who you are, but don't make me beg. Somebody please tell me, where the fuck is Greg?
I heard you've been looking for Greg in hibernation, sleeping on the reg. Right now I'm making a pie with nutmeg. I'll come out if you really, really beg. About to re-enter the town, gonna make my way down. Go ahead, give me that crown. Greg's making his rounds, saying hey to these hounds, picking up coffee grounds. No need for breakdowns, I'm post office bound. Don't worry, scout, no need to act out. Greg's now en route, you're gonna earn that clout.
Chilling in the van, thinking of a plan. Starting off a male boy, wanna be a mailman. Not a fan of stunning lands, would rather glide than run in spans. But Janet be a grand Amsterdam across the lands. And standing up to mail crime, handing over Cedar's dimes. Climbing up the mountain vines, learning all the gang signs. Think I'll realign, get that fake check signed. Watch my funds hit 29, and now I'm wearing Calvin Klein. Shined up my glider, got shades and a visor. The love spoon I'll hide her, be Kiki's insider. Conspire to rewire all of swamps entire, and exchange Greg's prior with a flyer from Rob Snyder.
Whoa, Brittany. Nicki Minaj over there. You trying to take my name?
You're welcome, everybody.
Yes.
Yes, you're welcome.
You can quit your teaching job and become a rapper now.
I think
say
you can,
less.
Yeah, yeah, awesome. So I'm excited to hear about the next game, which I assume you picked out, Nicki?
I get to pick. Yes, I've picked it. And you know what? There's a theme this season. And I don't know if you've noticed it, Eric. But out of the, you know, 5-6 episodes we have this season already, what's a theme that you can think about? Like, the first game we did was Twisted Metal 2.
Oh, yeah, 2. Yeah, 2.
And then we did The Evil Within 2. And then we did Mega Man 2.
Yeah, we've done a lot of twos.
We've done a lot of twos. And I'm going to keep it going because, you know, it's the season of twos. So does that give you any hints, Eric? There's a lot of games that have a two. So that doesn't really narrow it down.
I know what you're playing right now.
Oh, you think I'm trying to trick you?
Well, that's a two. You're playing a two right now.
But two's not in the title.
Two's not in the title, but it's still a two.
Yeah. I'm playing Horizon Forbidden West. But that's not what I'm picking.
That's not what you're picking. Okay.
I'm picking a puzzle game.
Ooh.
That I really love.
Is it Peggle?
Yes.
Nice.
Peggle 2.
Peggle 2. Okay, yeah.
But I'll probably just do the history of like all Peggle.
Yeah.
But Peggle 2 is on the PlayStation, so we can get it. It's only $12. And your challenge is to complete 120 optional objectives. And if you do that, you'll get...
What the fuck, Nicki?
It's not even the hardest one, okay? And if you do that, you'll get a trophy called Extreme Objectification Trophy.
That sounds really hard.
It's a puzzle game. You can do it.
120 objectives?
Optional objectives.
Optional objectives. Yeah. So not even just the regular
But that's
game.
Not even the most amount you can get. I think the most amount you get is like 190. So okay. I didn't make you do the whole amount. I'm being very lenient over here.
It's fair.
Don't you agree, Brittany?
I do.
Yeah.
All
right. This, I have no idea. So I guess I'll find out. I do love Peggle, though. Peggle's a great game.
I do, too. So let's do it.
All right. All right.
Until next time. Bye.
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 As always, if you like this episode, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or rate us on Spotify. Also, check out our website, pressanybutton.net. We recently added Drink Man on there, so you can download that for free and play it. And we'd love to hear what you have to say. Bye!